Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the very first episode of Random Fandom. I am Jim Cameron from the Crinoid Podcast, and I have on the other end of a Skype line...
Well, it's Bob Fleming from the Proctor Who Podcast. Hiya, Jim.
Right.
Yeah, I'm raring to go for this brand new episode of whatever we're doing that's quite similar to what we did before.
Yeah, it's very similar with a few stolen formats from other podcasts thrown in.
Yeah, it's good. I'm looking forward to it. This is it's good different, though, isn't it? This is going to be fun.
I think so, yeah.
Well, I'm saying that's a bit presumptuous, really, isn't it? It could be absolutely shit.
So it might be absolutely awful. Awful.
We'll soon find out, won't we?
We will. Well, that's a quick explanation of what we're going to do here. We have a bunch of questions here, many of which have been sent in by our adoring listeners.
Yeah.
Which is great. Brilliant. Please keep them coming. That's fantastic. The email address is random.fandom@mail.com. So if any question pop up you like me and Bob to bang on about, then that's the email address to use, and several people have already. What we're going to do is pick these things literally at random.
Aye.
Using a highly sophisticated computerized system. And then we're going to talk about them however long it takes,
that's,
I guess.
But literally dead simple, isn't it?
Yep, it's as simple as that. It really is that simple. So, shall we, without any further ado, pick one?
Let's do it. Do you want me to pick, or do you want to pick first?
You pick, Bob.
Right. Right, so the first one out of the hat, Jim, is from Christopher Bryant, and he asks, if you could bring back one classic era companion instead of Clara in the Christmas special, who? Interesting question.
Yeah, thanks for that, Christopher. Well, I think as we've got the first Doctor in the Christmas special, I'd like to see Ian Chesterton appear. We've still got him. He's still alive. I know he's, the actor, obviously, is still alive.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
William Russell, still doing Big Finish, so hopefully he could do a stint in front of the cameras. I'd like him to meet the Doctor again. I think that might be rather poignant. Obviously a different actor, sadly, but that can't be helped. But, Ian, I think.
Is that what's happening in the Christmas episode? Sorry, I'm a bit confused to the question. So, Clara's not coming back, is she? Oh, is she?
There's a heavy rumour that she's coming back. And the chances are she will make some appearance, because that's kind of traditional, isn't it? And
right.
We remember with Amy and...
Yeah.
And obviously previous things as well.
Oh, well, that's a bit disappointing. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know that. well, I know that there's a quite an attractive young woman playing Polly, the part of Polly, and I think there's stuff like that, isn't there? I've seen that on the internet.
That's right, yeah.
So that's kind of nice. And she's very nice as well. A classic era companion, and do they have to be alive?
I don't know how literal Christopher wants us to be, really.
Like you're going to bring back, obviously, Ian Chesterton, played by William Russell. You want William Russell to play that part, and they've gone back to see him when he's older?
Yeah, I'd quite like that to happen. But, I mean, I guess if you're recasting the Doctor, you can recast the companion as well, can't you? Yeah. So you could have whatever companion you like, if they're alive, the original actor, or if you want a younger version.
I mean, I'd love to see Harry Sullivan back, Ian Martin. Uh-huh. I'd definitely love to see that. I think that'd be amazing. Mm. Or the Brigadier, something like that. They're probably my two favourite. Up there's my two favourite classic companions, because they were both quite different, if you see what I mean. Quite like it when the Doctor plays off a more of an action military kind of man, even though they're not really action military men, because they're quite soft really compared. But yeah, I'd like probably one of them two really. If it was one that was still alive, it's quite tricky, isn't it, nowadays, because Doctor Who's knocking on, as are the actors that have been in it, so you know, they do seem to get quite a lot more deaths nowadays. It's a good question, that. I'm gonna say, so if it could be anyone, it'd be probably, like I say, Harry Sullivan. I think that'd be so cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, what about Chameleon? Something like that. The shittiest companion that was never a companion. Oh, Adric. Oh, imagine that. Adric, Matthew Waterhouse.
Back from the grave.
For Happy Christmas, everyone. No, it's not. It's awful. Why? Why have you done that to us?
Christmas is ruined. He's a companion, the companion equivalent of a Brussels sprout.
What about chameleon then turns into Matthew Waterhouse. Adric, that
double bubble,
double absolute terribleness. I'd take that. I mean, that would make me laugh. It would be horrible, but it would. And normal people, like general public, would be like, "What the hell is going on here?"
Well, I mean, there's a bit of a danger that the public will be saying that anyway, you know, because this is going to be very, very
fanboy, isn't it?
Fan serving, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, a lot of people won't know who the heck, you know, the first Doctor is or was or all the rest of it. So I think, you know, Moffat's having his final fling of fandomy stuff.
Well, he can.
Of course he can, yeah. He's entitled to that. No one would begrudge him that, I hope.
Yeah.
But you will get your wish. There is a military man in there, played by Mike Gatiss.
Now,
just not one of those two.
He
looked probably.
Well, no, I'm quite looking forward to it. I think it's good that he's been cast in it. And he looks like he's going to be quite good. He's quite good at playing them sort of posh parts as well. So I'm quite interested to see what happens with that. But I don't know if this is true, but one of the rumours is that he's playing the Brigadier's dad.
That's one of the rumours, yeah.
Well, that'd be kind of cool. I think I quite like that.
I don't see anything wrong with that, really.
I mean, again, big fanboy thing, isn't it? But I think it'd be quite cool. So I kind of do get my wish then, don't I, really?
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, it depends what era you think the Brigadier was in, the 70s or the 80s.
That's true.
The unit dating controversy. You know, I think the dates would work if he was the Brigadier's dad.
Why would you pick William Russell? Why would you pick Ian Chesterton?
I don't know. It just occurs to me that if you're going to get a classic era companion, it might as well be one connected to the classic era Doctor that's returned. And you know, it's one of those things, you know, our time, you know, will be limited with William Russell on this earth. So, you know, it'd be a nice chance to do that. And it'd be quite a poignant thing, I think, if those two met each other.
It would be nice. Mm. Peter Purvis. Quite like to see Peter Purvis as well. I like Stephen. I do like Stephen.
Yeah, me too.
That'd be quite a good shout. And he's still alive, isn't he?
So. Yeah, good question.
Yeah, it was.
But, I'm not quite sure if we answered it adequately. We hope
it's all right.
Okay, right. Shall we pick another question then?
Yeah, your turn to pick. Your turn to randomise, whatever.
Right. Spin the randominator, or whatever we're going to call it. I suspect it isn't that.
No, we're calling it randominator now, Jim.
We won't remember that next episode, or next question, probably. All right, this one's from Jeff Waddle.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. Jeff, in typically forthright style, says, does all fandom eventually disappear up its own arse the way some Who fans have over the 13th? Has it all become too self-entitled? Bob, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's absolutely bang on right. I think there's a lot of more people that are, I don't know, just dicks, really. Everyone seems to be like to complain about the Capaldi era a lot. A whinge about every week or whatever. And I think a lot of it's unjustified because it has been brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, if he means that the negativity from the fans.
Well, I think that's it. I mean, the self-entitled thing is, I think people think, they hear the vaguest thing about an episode and they think, I want it to do that. And if it doesn't do that, they're absolutely furious. Or if their show is not run exactly the way they want it to be run. It's almost like too much perceived ownership of the show from certain individual fans.
Yeah.
One particularly self-combusted at the news of Jodie Whittaker, a famous so-called super fan.
Really? Who's that? Ian Levine?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's a twat, though, so it doesn't matter. I don't like him.
I think it's fairly recognised. But, I mean, that is, yeah, obviously that's at one end of the spectrum, and, you know, other people might grumble a little bit and, you know, see how it goes sort of thing. But I think there's quite a lot of people at the Levine end of towards that end of the spectrum, more than you would think from a show of this sort.
I've not seen any of this, like, negativeness, really, about Jodie Whittaker. I've said many times, I would have been a year ago, I'd have been probably the same, like throwing my DVDs out and never watching Doctor Who again. But I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm embracing it. We need a big change. And I've not really seen that much sort of negative vibes about it, really. I kind of do go on the internet and stuff, but the people that I seem to be friends with or follow or whatever, there's no negativeness towards it, really. But I just like, I have no Tories on my Facebook and things like that. I just don't... If people were slagging it off, I wouldn't be friends with them on Facebook. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I mean, yeah, I'd say most of the stuff that I've seen has come secondhand, you know, from retweets and stuff like that of people who are having hissy fits about it. But, you know, we get the same when, you know, it was revealed that Bill would be a lesbian. You know, social media lit up with frothing people who are entirely intolerant of anything. And we got the same again here.
I just think people need to chill out a bit. You know, if you don't like it, there's days and weeks you can watch, you know, time-wise of Doctor Who, you can go back and watch. Well, go and watch that. If you don't want to watch it, there's plenty of you to go, you know, plenty to go back and watch. So do that and shut up. Because it needs a change, Doctor Who. It needs a massive change. And it doesn't get much bigger than the Doctor being recast as a woman. And, you know, I think the new showrunner, you know, Chris Chibnall coming in as new showrunner would have been one thing, but I think it needed more because it needs freshening up massively. It's got very stale for me as Doctor Who. I still love it, I still enjoy it, but I wasn't that excited about it week on week in the last season, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I remember you saying. Yeah, I mean, the change, I mean, Chibnall is like a backroom change, isn't it? Most people aren't going to either know or care one way or the other if they do know. Mm. Whereas this, I mean, you know, can you remember the last time people were talking about Doctor Who as much as they are right now after that announcement?
Yeah, not on like front page of the newspaper and stuff like that, really. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. And yeah, it needs to kick up the arse. It's lost, you know, 2 million viewers over the last couple of seasons, isn't it, thereabouts?
But I think, again, coming with that, if you look at viewing figures in general and all that kind of stuff, it's not too bad.
But at the same time, you know, it's not, the figures are by no means going up, are they? You know,
no.
It feels like it's stagnating a little bit or going down. But, you know, this is a way to, you know, introduce a whole new bunch of people to the show or back to the show.
Yeah.
And it's what the show needs anyway, regardless of the audience. It needs something like this. I mean, when you think about, I think one of the main reasons that people are so, you know, sort of meh about Chris Marshall is that, you know, it felt like kind of more of the same sort of thing.
Mm.
And I think what we have now is something so different that you almost can't imagine how it's going to work. So it makes it feel very exciting.
Yeah, no, I agree,
to
Jim,
see how it is going to work. And, you know, personally, I think that Peter Capaldi has given us the definitive male doctor.
Yeah.
I can't see anyone living up to that or improving on it. So it just seems like the perfect time.
Yeah.
To have a woman in the role. And it, to be honest, I would have been... I mean, it sounds really fickle, but this is the first time, or this was the first time with Capaldi where I really didn't want the current doctor to go.
Yeah.
And I was really, kind of not looking forward to what would happen next because I didn't think anyone would live up to him. But I have to say, as soon as this announcement happened, or at least probably about the day after the announcement when it kind of sunk in, I was really excited about it, and I kind of didn't mind so much that Peter Capaldi was going.
Mm.
And I can't think of anything else that would have made me change my mind in that way.
Yeah.
It's a very exciting piece of casting. It's, you know, that's all I can say, really.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And the people that are, getting... I think, he's probably right, Jeff, when he says self-entitled, like, it's my show. It's not, it's our show. And the majority of people I've seen embracing it. And just be positive about it. Jesus Christ, there's so many negative Doctor Who fans out there. And again, thankfully, I don't see a great deal of it. Or listen to a great deal of it, whatever. And don't get me wrong, occasionally I can be quite negative about the show, as, you know, people will testament to when you listen to Doctor Who. But it's very rare. And if I do, it's usually quite justified.
Well, there's nothing wrong with, you know, disliking certain stories or certain aspects of the show. Right. You know, it's when you froth about something that... You know, you cannot know anything about.
No, exactly. Yeah.
We don't know how she's going to play it. We don't know how it's going to be. Why get so angry about it before you've seen her in action? Yeah, I mean, if you watch the first episode and you can't stand what she's doing, then like any other doctor, you can say, oh, this, you know, I don't like this doctor. That's fine. But this is the prejudice, isn't it? Of saying, oh, a woman could never play the part, or, you know, the TARDIS is going to be full of bras and all this kind of,
rubbish. I have seen that kind of like tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, well, the tongue-in-cheek stuff is okay.
Well, I said
if it's amusing, that's fine, but it's the downright kind of mindless sexist stuff. That is no good, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm all aboard. I'm all aboard the Whittaker train, the female Doctor Who train. Yeah, I can't wait. Bring it on.
Mm, indeedy.
Yeah. Oh, another. Should we do another one?
Yeah, let's do another one. Go for it.
Okay, here we go. Doing a little randomization here, Jim.
With a randometer.
With a randometer, yeah.
Is that what we called it?
We're going to call it that. We have one here.
I forgot what we called it.
Yeah, it is now, Jim, the randometer. So the randometer is kicked out. If you could choose one missing story to return to the archives, what would it be and why? And that's from a young man called Mark Atkinson, who might be on the Proctor Who show.
Oh, is he new?
I've never heard of him. Right, that's a big question. Mm. I think we have covered this before when we were the Letter Lords, maybe.
It changes every time the question is asked, doesn't it, pretty much?
It does change every time. Because you've got missing, then you've got part missing, haven't you? So
yeah.
I know what mine would be.
Well, you go ahead then, Bob.
Mine would always be the Dalek Master Plan. But obviously we've got a couple of them left, haven't we? So, I mean, that's just it's monumental in Doctor Who's history, a 12-part, you know, serial as one adventure, and there's so much stuff that happens in it. I love, well, I've always loved listening to the BBC audio of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's Daleks, and it's just everything. It's just so many things over that. So many things happen during that time. I'd love to see it all. I'd love to see him say Merry Christmas and break the fourth wall and stuff like that. I really want to. That's the one I'd definitely have. Like, I mean, there's a lot to choose from, but for me, I think it's quite a pivotal thing in Doctor Who and its history, and the fact it would be the longest episode-wise, one Doctor Who story. So,
Yeah, I'd love to see that one back. I mean, it, just the kind of sheer epicness of this saga. I mean, it's almost a kind of season of its own, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 12 episodes, obviously, at the half the length of what they are now, but, you know, we have 12 episode series nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's just such a fantastic saga, isn't it? I mean, there's possibly two episodes you could probably live without, the Feast of Stephen being one of them, and the episode that follows. Yeah, if they found 11 episodes and not the Feast of Stephen, then I would be just as delighted, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was... It was something and nothing, wasn't it, like that Feast of Stephen episode? But, I mean, the rest of it is gripping, and it is awesome. And dark. It's a dark journey as well, which, I do like in Doctor Who. And Hartnell, I think he's definitely on his game in this as well, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, from what I've seen and listened to. And I'm not, you know, I like William Hartnell, but he's not by any stretch of the imagination, one of my favourite Doctors. But I really like him in this. As I do in the Dalek Invasion of Earth, for example, as well. I think that's a great one for Hartnell. But yeah, I think this one for me. But there's a lot of Troughton that I'd like to see, like the Macro Terror.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Because that is quite different, and I can never visualise in my head what the Macro Terror would be like on telly. Mm. Does that make sense? That's one that I kind of struggle with, really.
I quite fancy the Savages. I quite like to see that. It intrigues me from what I've seen of. You know, the stills from it. There's looks like some excellent sets in there, and the location looks great, and it's an interesting idea.
Mm.
And it's another one, you know, say what you like about Dodo, but we don't really have enough of her to judge, do we? And I think this is one of the better stories for Dodo. So in terms of kind of plugging a gap in the sort of companion archive, I think it would be, that would be another reason I'd like to see that. Of course, Stephen Leaves in that one as well.
Yes.
So it's quite a pivotal story in some ways, and of course it's one of the early hints that they were going to get rid of William Hartnell, wasn't it? Because I think it's a Frederick Jaeger character gets his life essence instilled into him, doesn't it? And he takes on his characteristics, so he wanders around kind of doing a Hartnell impression, which is I think that would be fun to see as well. So yeah, that would be another. I think, you know, particularly in the light of what's happening at Christmas. If we want an episode to return, 10th Planet Part 4 would be pretty high up in terms of the single episodes to be returned.
Yeah.
I think it would be great. It was obviously an incredibly important episode in the show's history. And, you know, it's a good story. It'd be good to see it in its totality. But, you know, the animation is fine, but you want the real thing, don't you?
Always want the real thing, Jim. Always want the real thing.
This is not an advert for Coke, by the way.
Just to emphasise
a
that.
Word from our sponsors.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Dalek Master Plan. You're going to go The Savages, huh?
Well, I've always said Dalek Master Plan, but I'm chucking The Savages in there just to be different.
Awesome. Are we going to pull out another?
Yeah, I think we've got time, haven't we?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, let me take the controls of the...
Randominator.
Randominatrix. similar question. This is from the lads from 42 to Doomsday, an excellent podcast out there in Australia.
Yeah.
So, give that a listen. They say, if you had the choice to save videotapes of either Fury from the Deep, the Massacre, or the Faceless Ones, which one would you choose and why? That's interesting. None of those three came up in what we just discussed.
I mean, Fury from the Deep, there is an episode, isn't there, of that? I'm pretty sure.
No, there's no Fury from the Deep.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Underwater Menace, aren't I?
Yeah, there's two of that now, isn't there? Underwater Menace, yeah.
Which one's Fury from the Deep?
It's Victoria leaves its scene. Is it North Sea oil platform, something? And they got the seaweed monsters underneath, and Oak and Quill wandering around breathing on people.
Do you know what? All three of these, I will have heard him on BBC Audio, and I may have read the Target novels, but I wouldn't have a clue. Like, the first one's. Hang on. The first one is the one that's set in the airport, isn't it?
Yes.
Right, and I've seen that, haven't I? Recently. I'm pretty sure I've seen it on Telesnaps.
Oh, yeah. The Telesnaps exists.
Why
yeah.
did I watch that? Did we do it on Proctor Who? Yes, we did it on Proctor Who.
You did, yeah.
That's why I know that one. And that was awesome. but The Massacre and Fear from the Deep are ones that, like I said, I listened on BBC Audio. I can't believe I forgot I did the first ones. It was brilliant. Yeah, Massacre and Fear from the Deep. Don't really know much about them. Mm. Off the top of my head right now. This is the problem with a lot of the missions for me. I have listened to them. I have seen the episodes that exist. But they sort of don't ring true. So when missing ones come up on Proctor Who, I love it because it's going back and watching a new episode of Doctor Who because I definitely haven't seen this or absorbed it enough for it to feel like I've seen it before, really.
Yeah, it's similar with the Macro Terror for us because I didn't know the Macro Terror at all well until we covered it in the Crinal podcast. And now I feel like I know it quite well. Mm. But it was like experiencing a story pretty much for the first time because I never had the book. But onto these, I'll discount The Massacre straight away. I don't find it interesting. I've never been able to get through the audio of that. I mean, I'm sure it helps if you can see what's going on, but just not for me, I don't think.
The Massacre historical, which event is it based on?
The Massacre of St. Bartholomew's Eve. That's it. The Huguenots and all that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's basically Stephen carries the show, doesn't he? Because the Doctor wanders off and goes to see a scientist, isn't he? But Hartnell also plays the Abbot of Amboise, isn't he? So he plays a secondary role in that one.
And Fury from the Deep is Victoria's last story.
Yeah.
Where's it set? Is it set in modern day Earth?
Slightly ahead of contemporary, I think, a few years ahead. But yeah, Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll go with the Faceless Ones because I've seen it and it was really good.
Well, I like the Faceless Ones. I'd like to see it at some point. I think some interesting stuff goes on there. And the episode that exists is, it's quite atmospheric, particularly when they're transporting that Faceless One through the airport. I think it's quite a creepy scene. But also creepy is the stuff from Fury from the Deep. I really enjoyed the book of this. And the soundtrack's good as well. It's slightly annoying that the bloke in charge just keeps shouting throughout the first several episodes. He's just shouting and shouting and shouting, which gets slightly wearing if you listen to it all in one go. But in terms of the story, I think there's some very creepy stuff goes on there, and there's some fantastic incidental music as one of the characters just walks out into the sea. I think that'd be great to see that sequence, not in Telesnaps, but as it was transmitted. So of those three, I think I'd probably plump for Fury from the Deep.
What I would like to do, I would like to go back and watch all the Telesnap missed adventures that that guy has done. I can't remember his name now off the top of my head.
Loose Cannon,
because they're brilliant. They are awesome. But I stop myself because when they come up in Prog 2, I want to go in with fresh eyes. I genuinely would just sit with my iPad and watch them. I think they do a great job and get to know these stories. Like I said with the first ones, it's brilliant because it is like watching new. So there we go. Yeah.
There we go, indeed. So Faceless Ones from you and Fury from the Deep from me on that one.
Yeah.
I think that'll do us for our inaugural episode of Random Fandom.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think you're correct, Jim. But we have a couple more here from you listeners, which we will definitely embark on, I'm sure, at some point in the near future. Well, that was all right, wasn't it? It was.
I think it worked.
Yeah. It was thinking on your feet kind of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, listeners, if you think it worked or think it didn't work, then let us know either way, please.
Well, particularly the ones that said it has worked and just fill us with a false sense of awesomeness, that'd be fine. The ones that don't like us, just keep quiet. Absolutely fine with that also. But anyway, it's been fun again, Jim. It's been a pleasure talking to you, as always.
It always is, Bob, talking to you. And yeah, interesting to do it in a different format. But yeah, keep the listener questions coming, please. random.fandom@mail.com. And yeah, any thoughts you have on the new format, good or bad, gratefully received.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for listening to this one, and we hope you will have your company for the next one. But until now, it's goodbye from me.
And it's Teddy Bye from me.